Hello, everyone. This is Paige Hattie with Reliability Connect, and today we are sitting down and talking with Tom Moriarty, who is the president of Ali Dad Mayor. Founded in 2004, Ali Dad's mission is to help others lead full and satisfying lives through physical asset management and productive leadership principles for industrial facilities and government clients. Tom is the author of The Productive Leadership System, Maximizing Organizational Reliability, available through Amazon or Industrial Press. And today we're going to be chatting a little bit with Tom about the leader's need for a personal mission, vision, and value statement. Hey, Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. So, well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into things today, Tom. So to start us off, would you mind explaining why a personal strategic plan is important for a leader?
Yeah, so why should we have a personal mission, vision, and values? So the first thing is that it provides direction to your life as a leader in terms of who you want to be and what you want to accomplish and how you want to accomplish it. And you can use your mission, vision, and values to create a set of objectives or things that you need to put in place to achieve your vision.
All right. So then how would you recommend then someone go about with creating a personal mission, their personal vision, and personal values?
Yeah. So how do you identify your own personal mission? The first thing is that typically organizations have mission statements, and a mission statement is just simply a short phrase or a couple of short sentences that sum up why the organization exists and what it contributes to the world. So a productive leader should have a personal mission statement, which should be a short phrase or sentence that sums up why you exist and what you contribute to the world. So your personal mission statement, it should be a fairly high level direction, providing direction to your life. It should give you something to strive for. And that personal mission gives you something that you can evaluate your actions and decisions against. So your personal mission statement needs to make sense to you. And it should get to the essence of what you're striving to accomplish in your life. You should define your personal mission statement that you need to, in order to do that, you need to set aside some time and think about it. And what you do basically is ask yourself a set of three distinct questions to help you to zero in on that mission statement. So the first question is, what can you be successful doing? And then the second question is, what are you passionate about? And the third question is, what would give you a sense of satisfaction? And so this personal mission statement should be something that would be realistic and achievable. For instance, I'm 5'9", I'm in my late 50s. There's no possibility that I'm going to be a professional athlete, no matter how passionate I am about hockey or baseball or, you know, whatever. The possible exception might be the sport of curling, because it's kind of like bowling, but you get to put your beer down on the ice to keep it cold. So a personal mission statement, like my personal mission statement I've identified it as to help others achieve full and satisfying lives. And, a lot of people know my previous career, I was in the Coast Guard for 24 years. And when I was in the Coast Guard, I fulfilled that mission by, performing search and rescue missions and doing counter narcotics law enforcement, doing drug interdictions at sea, as well as training and mentoring my shipmates. Once I left the service and went into my consulting life, through the process of writing my book, The Productive Leadership System, I fulfill my mission by educating and assisting people in developing knowledge and skills and becoming more valuable in their current or potential future employers. So that's what I would say about a personal mission statement.
Sure. So, Tom, if someone's looking for maybe more examples of that, or like a framework for how all of those statements could be laid out, to help them get started, where would you kind of point them to as a frame of reference?
Well, absolutely a self-serving promotion here. they could go to Amazon or to Industrial Press and buy my book. I lay all this out and many, many other things. When we talk about mission, vision, and values, and we'll go through vision and values here, momentarily. But when you think about productive leadership is really, you need to have a system in place that defines accountabilities for key aspects of how an organization performs. And then you need to have productive leaders that carry out those accountabilities. So within that, the productive leadership model, I talk about how a leader needs to be responsible, and they also need to have their own personal mission, vision, and values so that they then can be effective at applying leadership roles, attributes, and skills, understanding and applying the seven sources of power to influence people and to achieve goals and objectives. And so this is really just a subset of the part about a leader and the leader needing to be responsible, but also having their personal mission, vision, and values. So would you like me to continue with the personal vision?
Yeah, let's dive into that. And I think that could be really great. And I think too, speaking about how frequently that needs to be updated and maybe what could trigger such an update to someone's vision or their own kind of mission and goals would be. Kind of elaborate a little bit on that, Tom.
Oh, absolutely. So the first place, your personal mission should be something that doesn't really change. It can change a little bit over the course of your life, but it should be something that's pretty static. You know, obviously, when you have big changes in your life, you might reevaluate your personal mission and change that a bit. But your personal vision is something that should change periodically throughout your life. So as you accomplish different aspects of your vision, you update it and create the next set of visions. Okay, so how do you create your personal vision? Well, just think about, like, if you're gonna try to build a deck on the back of your house, you really need to have a vision of what it's gonna look like when you're done. So if you don't picture in your mind's eye what the end state looks like, it's unlikely that you're gonna end up with the deck that you want, right? And for any worthwhile aspect of your life, you should have a vision. So a vision is important for physical accomplishments like, you know, building a deck, but a vision is also important for any type of accomplishment, and they can be in many different areas. So educationally, career aspirations, interpersonal relationships, health, all these different things, you can have a set of visions for those things that are important. And so people who are successful in life, they tend to create visions for what they want their future to look like. And with that vision in mind, a person can align their activities with a series of objectives and goals that are needed to accomplish the vision. And so let's get down to how you actually create the vision. The first thing that you want to do is identify what your future situation will look like if you're successful. The answers to that are personal to you and they can change over time. So the idea is to identify what you want to achieve. And this is not what you think others want you to achieve. This is what you want to achieve, right? And the first thing that you would do then is to make a list of categories of things that are important to you. And there's no set of, you know, no fixed set of categories. It can include things like health, professional development, personal accomplishments or abilities, relationships, financial well-being, travel and experiences, all those sorts of things. And then for each of those categories, write down what it would be like if you reach the objectives that lead to accomplishing that vision. So I'll give you a couple of personal examples. I'll pick two of them, health and professional accomplishments. Okay, so in health terms, I want to be physically fit for my age. And what that means to me is I want to keep my weight below 185 pounds. I want my cholesterol and triglyceride measures to be in, you know, a normal range, and to do that by controlling my diet and exercising. Professional accomplishments. Now, the things that I want to accomplish here are to conduct at least 15 professional leadership workshops, transferring knowledge to at least 200 people every year. I want to continue writing my monthly column for Plant Services Magazine. I want to stay current on leadership and management topics, and I want to be viewed as a thought leader for industrial and facilities management. And one of my, what we talked about earlier is that, you know, you can update your visions throughout your life. Well, I just, one of my visions from a couple of years ago was to publish a book on productive leadership. So this has been accomplished. So I've replaced that with the first one that I talked about is, you know, doing 15 productive leadership workshops per year and transferring knowledge. So again, your personal vision, it's your vision can change over the course of your life. And what I would say too is, you know, when I first entered the Coast Guard, my vision was to be a first responder, right? Going out in heavy seas to rescue people in peril. And I intended to progressively advance, you know, professional development. I intended to progressively advance in my my rating or my trade to chief petty officer, maybe chief warrant officer, and to become an expert in my technical field as I was a machinery technician. But a few years later, that vision changed and I applied for and I was accepted to officer candidate school. So my personal mission stayed the same to help others lead full and satisfying lives. But my vision changed several times over the course of a couple of years. So that's how you go about creating a mission and vision. So would you like me to next talk about values?
Yours, Tom.
Okay, so how do you create personal values? So your personal values are the principles by which you make the journey towards your personal vision end state. And so values are the way you go about implementing the decisions and actions that lead to you accomplishing that end, the end state vision. So the most important thing to consider when you're establishing your personal values is to understand that they're not the values that others think you should have. These are personal values, are values chosen by each person as to what they believe is best for them. So they're personal to each individual. And so how do you go about creating your personal values? It's kind of a three-step process. The first thing is to picture yourself many years into the future. And you're very old and you're surrounded by family and friends and others who you respect and whose opinions are important to you. They've come together to honor you and to express how you have influenced their lives. And so the second step is to then answer two questions. The first is, what would you want to describe, how would you want others to describe the way you lived your life? And the second question is, what would you want others to say about what they learned from you? And once you have the answers to those questions, and you should strive to have maybe three or four statements or phrases for each of those two questions. And then what you do is you summarize those personal values. So each personal value should be described in a statement or phrase that communicates what it means to you. So in my case, when I asked the first question, what do I want to be known for? I would say my three statements would be living my life honestly with integrity, humility, and a sense of humor, earning my accomplishments fairly through my own effort, and helping others to achieve satisfaction and to thrive in their lives. And the second question is, I'd want others to have learned from me. What would I have wanted others to have learned from me? The first thing would be to be curious and to engage in lifelong learning. The second would be to balance logic and emotions. You know, I'm a big fan of learning the facts, but then consider the thoughts and feelings of others because those are realities to those people. And then the third thing would be to take care of your mind, body, and soul. So those would be the personal values and how you would come across or how you would develop your personal values.
Sure, I love that, Tom. That's awesome. So I heard, I mean, very to be expected, I guess, for us Floridians, but I heard through the grapevine that you're quite the golfer. So I was hoping that you could tell us a little bit about that venture and hobby of yours, and then maybe how you can draw it back to reliability for us.
Well, I would say I'm an avid golfer. I wouldn't say that I'm a fantastic golfer. I'm about a 10 handicap, so that's respectable, but it's, you know, I'm not going to be winning the club championship or anything like that. But I do feel like there's a lot of metaphors between golf and organizational development and how people interact with each other. In fact, I was just rereading. There's a book by a gentleman named Bob Rotella, which says golf is not a game of perfect. And throughout it, it's basically talking about what are the things that you can do. You know, you can have the best golf swing in the world. You could be the top golfer in the world, the number one person, and you're still going to hit bad shots, right? And to me, that's a metaphor for when you are trying to put in place a good set of policies, plans, processes, procedures, measures, when you're setting up your personal mission, vision, values, and objectives and goals, and the same thing for organizational mission, vision, values, and objectives and goals, nothing's perfect, right? So organizational reliability is not a game of perfect either, right? So you can do the best you can, but there are going to be these random things that happen, like coronavirus, a shipment of raw materials not showing up when it's supposed to, of your star employee making a mistake, right? Things happen all the time. So I think in my outlook from golfing and how you can, you know, do the best you can, you're always striving to shoot par or better, but more times than not, you're not going to make a par, you're not going to make a birdie, right? You try to minimize the damage by having a good game plan about how you work your way around the course. But it's life itself is not a game of perfect. Golf is not a game of perfect. Leadership and management is not a game of perfect. But you should always be striving to do the best that you can.
Very well said, Tom. Anything else you'd like to add here while we're still online for today?
Yeah, just, you know, I just want to let people know that I'm available to visit plants, you know, of course, once this antisocial distancing stuff is over with, but I'm happy to visit plants to consult or to help them put a plan in place on how to become a reliable organization and how to make your leaders productive leaders, because I feel like you know, there's a lot of change management out there and people trying to put in good work management processes and integrating their CMSs or trying to put a lubrication program in place or operator perform maintenance. And a lot of times those things fail, and it's because we don't have a good foundation of organizational reliability and productive leadership. You end up with the program of the month. So I encourage everybody to get a copy of my book or to contact me directly, and let's see if we can help you become a more reliable organization and have more productive leaders.
Awesome. That all being said, Tom, too, for anyone listening, feel free to comment under this interview or ask Tom a question, and we'll be sure to make a connection with yourself and Tom. So thank you so much.
Just
sorry,
one other
go ahead,
thing.
Tom.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One other thing. I have been writing the column in Plant Services for over 11 years now. It's a monthly column. So I'm always looking for ideas, what people would like me to write a article about. So by all means, contact me and let me know if you have thoughts on something you'd like me to address in the article.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tom, for sitting down with us today. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Paige.